Blog Talk Radio.
Are you looking to take your social technology strategies to the next level? Then do we have a show for you. Social Geek Radio co-hosts AK Stout and Deb Evans chat weekly with innovative technology folks who share their experiences, tips, and tricks to help you take your business to the next level. Social Geek Radio is brought to you by Saying It Social and Deb Evans Consulting, LLC. To learn more about their unique services, including but not limited to speaking, consulting, and training, visit AK Stout and Deb Evans Consulting.com.
Well, I'm sure I have confused some of my audience because it is Tuesday night and our regular show goes on Wednesday nights, but it's okay. AK Stout is traveling. I think she's listening. So, hey, AK, we miss you. Have fun in Colorado. And we're doing a Tuesday night show tonight because our very special guest, Chris Yates with Huddle Productions, and a second special guest, BJ Emerson with Buzzadelic, were available tonight to join me to talk about video storytelling. So, hello, gentlemen. How are you tonight?
I think we're doing awesome.
I think we're great.
How about you? How about you, BJ?
I'm good. I'm glad to be back. It's been a long time, and love the show, and love what Deb and AK have done with it. So good to be back, just sitting in.
Oh, you're going to do more than sit in. I'm going to put you to work. And I see our chat room of our locals are filling up, and we've got our phone lines hot. So I promise not to scare anybody and open a phone line, which I did a couple weeks ago. I threw one of our phone listeners in, and they helped me with the Geek It Out segment, but I won't do that tonight. So
let's mix it up, people. I like training people. I like being spontaneous. Let's mix it up a little, Deb.
We could. You know, Blog Talk Radio offers
this.
It is a Tuesday night, you know. We could really shake them up, you know. I could just hit that phone icon on the dashboard and call a friend or call a geek.
There's so many geeks out there. Let's do it.
Oh, look, now see, Chris, you're a troublemaker. That's pretty cool. So we just put that in. But the folks that I was hoping would join the chat are in there. So, you know, if they weren't there, I would be calling them. So video storytelling. Now, both of you, are really involved with video today and telling stories. But Chris, why don't we start with you and tell us a little bit about what you do with Huddle Productions and all about the videos that you do for your clients.
Absolutely. I started, I was a horrible person on video in 1989. Kind of dates me a little bit. I was in college, and we drank a lot of beer in college. So when you drink a lot of beer, you get a lot of crazy ideas. And my fraternity challenged me to be on public access television. Now, remember, this is before Wayne's World, people, okay? So you remember Wayne's World. And so they said, try and do this. So I said, oh, this is so easy. I could be on that show. So they challenged me. I went on the show, and I did not realize it was live television. I won a contest, and I went on, and it was awful. It was the worst show I've ever been on, but I was like, I love this. So at that point forward, I said, I want to be in television. So I created a career in sports broadcasting and got a job with ABC, NBC, CBS. I'm fast-forwarding because it's radio, so I got to speed up the process here. This is about a decade's worth of work. I'm explaining in 30 seconds. So I worked all the sports brands, and I just loved it. I just loved being on. I was a reporter, an anchor, a producer, an editor. Fast-forward to 2007. Now, I've just jumped from 1989 to 2007 here, folks, so bear with me. Wayne's World to I won a few Emmys in sports broadcasting, but I would get a 2% raise for every Emmy I won. So I was like, this is not going anywhere. And I kept losing my hair. I kept getting balder and balder and kept winning Emmys. And there was no future in that, you know? You lose your hair, and in TV, that doesn't work. So I decided to take an entrepreneurship course. And once I did that, I kept learning about experiences online. And I said, I'm going to start my own company in 2007. And I created a content marketing company that I do content marketing. Same thing I've done for years. I just changed my channel. So instead of doing it for television, people are like, man, how did you figure this out? I'm not that smart. I didn't figure anything out. I just figured out, let's change the channel. Let's put it online. Let's put it on YouTube. Let's put it on Twitter. And whatever comes up next, I could care less. You can call it zing, bing, bang, boom. I don't care what the channel is. Just create great stories and great video content, and it'll live on forever. Sorry about that long story, but that's basically me in 30 years.
That was a great story. It gave us some background. So, you know,
so
not every...
here now. Thank y'all. I'll see y'all next week. You mean I got to keep going? I don't have anything else.
I bet you do. I bet you do. So, BJ, before let's let Chris breathe for a minute, because that was a very long story, but it was great.
It was.
So, BJ, what is it that you're doing right now? And I know you're using video content.
Right. Certainly, just really now breaking into it ourselves here. But so we're more focused on the digital side, so we do a lot of content marketing of all kinds. So we're doing infographics. You know, we're doing some blogging, so any kind of support in social media that our clients need. And then, of course, we have the video in the mix as well, which is all very exciting. So lots of fun things going on there, and really just learning, the best ways to share our client stories. And that's what we do, is help our clients tell their stories. And kind of my title, part of my title is Head Story Hunter. So I look for the stories, and whether it's writing or trying to communicate that through something like an infographic or, of course, a video. We do some photography as well. But, all fun stuff, and love to find and share great stories. And, you know, our whole kind of mantra is, you know, smart marketers are cutting through the noise by starting conversations that matter to their customers. So how can we do that with video, right? Well, what questions are people asking? So then we just answer those questions in a video, and hopefully, Google will reward us, right? That's what we think.
Yes.
I think it's very true. So run that by me again. What did you say? It's smart marketers do what?
Smart marketers are cutting through the noise by starting conversations that matter to their customers. And,
very good.
Once you find out what those questions are, what resonates with them, what they really care about, what they're passionate about around your brand or your product or your service or your cause, it's just a matter of answering those questions and being, you know, part of that conversation. So, whatever format that is, and however your audience is interacting online.
I totally agree with you on that. And Deb, can I follow up, or do you want to ask a question?
Oh, please, no, go for it.
Okay,
I want to follow up
on that. It's totally true. So basically, I don't want to hear about your product. I don't want to hear about your brand. I don't want you to shove stuff. I don't want you to cold call me. I don't want any of that.
Yep.
If you're not content marketing, if you're not inbound marketing, you die in this industry. You are not going to make it, folks out there. And if you're not creating content that I care about, I am going to shut you down so fast. I will TiVo you. I will fast forward you. I will put you in my spam folder. I will not listen to you. Brands are dying. Businesses are dying when they don't figure this out. It's called brand journalism. If you're not creating and if you're not thinking, my nickname is Mopra, the male version of Oprah. I like to tell stories.
Okay. So I gotta mute myself, I think, tonight.
It's so true. And it's all about, Oprah's the greatest storyteller of all time. So if you can think like her and think what your customers want to hear and what they want to see and what they want to tell stories about, that is where gold is right now. And if you can't figure that out, you're dead as a business owner.
Hey Deb, where'd you find this guy?
I don't know. She found me online somewhere in a wacko place. I don't know.
I told you. I met him in Dallas at Entrepreneur Magazine. I think he just forgot.
All right, Chris. I got a question for you, Chris.
Yes, absolutely. So,
in journalism, they tell you that, as far as, you know, you want to go for the emotional connection versus the intellectual or the rational kind of justification, right? So connect emotionally, then rationalize or justify.
He's going to make me think. I can tell this is a good question.
Oh, yeah.
So when you're trying to tell a story through video, tell me what your process is as it relates to, you know, connecting emotionally versus, oh, I'm just going to rationally justify the benefits of my product to my audience.
Man, that's an excellent question. I always go, I could care less about the product. And I know brands don't like when I say that, and I don't get hired sometimes when I tell them that because they want me to pitch a product. I go straight to the emotion, and I go straight to the end user, and I go to the story. What's the great story about this? And if the product sells from that, then that's awesome. That's bonus. But right now, my main concern is the end user and telling a great story. And in the long run, I know it's a longer sales cycle, but in the long run, every company will benefit from that by telling great stories and attaching the emotion and not trying to sell something. So that's always been my first priority, is telling a great story. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, so how do you find those stories? That's kind of the big question. And,
oh, that's
and
so easy.
Go ahead.
That's extremely easy. It's just what I've done for 3 decades. I just look for something that's unique. For instance, here's a perfect example. Michael Stores hired me to do some videos, okay? Now, they do these fancy videos with studios and all that, and I get that. And they're talking about products and all that, and I get that. But I told them, let's focus on the customers, what they want. Customers don't care about what you're selling. What they care about is, what can I make for my kid during Christmas to make them happy and to stop whining and put them in diapers, okay? So what my goal is to stop kids from crying, to make mommies happy, and to make them to do something in the summer. So what I created was a how-to, you know, I mean, this is pretty easy, how-to videos on what to do on crafting and all that. Very boring. I've got juicier stuff than this, I'll be honest. There are some videos where I'm like, this is going to go viral, and I don't get any views. But I did a basic one for Michael Stores, and I'm like, I'll get a couple of views. It got 45,000 views in 2 days, which is not bad. But it was their most viewed video in 2 days. And it was, I'll be honest, it wasn't one of my best produced videos. But it gave the end user what they wanted during Christmas. How to create a Christmas ornament for your kids, and how to do stuff. So it was really cool. So when you give the end user what they want, that's the key.
Now, so you mentioned something there, and this keeps happening to me, what you just described. So I'll create an ad, or I'll create something that I just think, man, this is
going to
kill it.
Don't say the word ad. We don't do that, remember? We give the customer what they want.
We're not selling.
We're not ads. We love you. We want to protect you. We want to give you what you want. There you go.
Well, I'll create something that I really think is gonna. I really think it's gonna resonate. I really think this is gonna go viral, and this is. They're gonna share this. They're gonna love this. And then I have another piece of content that I'll share. That I think, this isn't very good. Someone else came up with this. I'm not on board with that, but I'll do it anyway. And it's a runaway hit. And mine was a dog. What do you do? And I'm always wrong. It appears, and maybe I should just choose what I think won't work. It seems like it would work better than what I'm doing. Does that make sense?
That's a very tough one. I usually can guess what'll take off. But like I said, I was wrong on the Michael Stores. I'm not always right. I mean, I've looked at video and I've been editing for so long that I kind of have an idea. I'm pretty good at hitting, but I'm not always 100%. I mean, I hit some dogs, man. You can never, it's just weird. You never know what the end user really will love. But you just try and always create great stuff, and you don't do infomercials, and you don't be salesy, and you don't be cheesy, and you don't. The hardest videos I've ever done, but they're the best rewarding ones. So it's a catch-22, okay? Tip information, easy. Most people like those. They're basic, but they're not going to go viral. Comedy is the hardest thing to hit. I have done some awesome comedy that ended up on CNN, Jay Leno, and all that, and I've done comedy that people said, you're a doofus. So it's a very hard balance to do. When you're on video, and I always tell people this, they're like, how do you start? I said, you know how to start? You got to suck. You got to suck, and you got to suck often, suck early, and suck a lot. And if you get that out of the way, some of yours are going to be good. The problem is most people don't want to suck on video, and they don't want to look like idiots. So they can't get past that first thing. I have so many sucky videos on my early career that I just kept going. I kept climbing through the suckiness of mountains. But most people are not willing to do that, okay? If you can do that, then that's how you'll succeed in video.
So how do you, if you're doing a video for a brand or an organization and you need to use their people, one, they're afraid. Two, they may be really sucky anyway. They might be bad. What do you do?
I try and get them comfortable early, and I guide the interview, and I talk them through that. If they did it on their own, they're going to suck, all right? We already said that. So let me or let someone like me guide you through. I would have someone else interview you. The problem with most people trying to create videos is I always tell them this. You're focusing on you, man. You put the camera in front of you, and you're looking right at the camera. Nobody wants to look at your eyes and your face and you just talking. That's boring as hell. So what I do, I've always done this. I focus on others. So I'll tell stories. Like, I'll go to South by Southwest, okay? Here's a perfect example. South by Southwest is a great example. A lot of people go to South by Southwest, and they're like, hey, I'm here. Look what I'm doing. I never do that. I go there, and I talk to Ford. I talk to Verizon. I talk to Budweiser. I talk to brands, and I interview them what they're doing. I focus on the great stories. It's not about Chris Yates. A lot of times it is, but I intersplice that in the story. But it really is about what others are doing. What brands and what people always make a mistake is they're like, oh, I got to talk about what our company does and our product, and I got to talk about what we do and this. I'm like, you're already messed up. People are already sick and tired of your product. Okay?
Yep.
So American Express is a great example. Anybody that follows American Express, they don't talk about the process of buying an American Express card and how to – do you know what they talk about? They talk about small businesses and what are the great businesses out there. And they tag it by small business, American Express. That's all they do. And they talk about all these great small businesses and what they're about. So American Express shifted the focus away from them and focused on these great stories and these cool, interesting, compelling small businesses. And they're tied into that. Because I don't want to hear about – I've heard American Express story already. I want to hear about someone else. Does that make sense? So if you can focus and – so any business can do this. A lawyer, a dentist, I don't care who you are. You could tell stories around those environments that's not about you. I hope I'm answering your question.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, shifting a little bit. So you're creating this great content. You found the story, and now you want people to, you're just getting into the process of creating something. And so, how do you make something that people will share? And more specifically, how do you want the sharer to look when they share it with other people? What's the motivation behind sharing something? And how does that make them look? Now, one thing you said was comedy. So I'm going to share a piece of your content because it's funny, right? What are some of the other reasons why people would share things?
Okay, and there's honestly on shareability, there's probably three. I would probably guess there would be three elements to shareability. One, you respect me. You're a friend of mine. You're in my circle. You're going to share something. If I say, man, this is pretty cool. You know what? I think we've got something here, BJ. I think this is pretty cool. You're probably going to share it because you trust me. Trust factor is probably my number one shareability factor. Number two, when you have created so much content over time and people have seen it, okay, even if you know me or you don't, I respect HubSpot. I respect Mashable. I respect these companies because over time they've built such great content. But I'm probably going to share their content. So trust probably goes into two levels. One, trust in an inner circle, someone you know personally, or trust someone you respect, just even if you don't know them. National, you don't know them. They're from London, but you trust them. So you're going to share that. Those are probably the first two. Those are my top two. Then you probably dive into, I do not know you. So it better be damn compelling, funny. So I would either go comedy or I would go tips and information that is so good. I'm like, that was really good information. I'm going to share it. I don't know this person. I have no idea who they are. I don't trust them. I don't respect them. I don't even know who they are. But it was such a great, compelling story that I'm going to share it. So I would go through four layers. My top ones, obviously, would be trust and respect.
Gotcha. I like it.
I love it. And you mentioned Mashable. I watched your video at South by Southwest, and you talked with Pete. How many videos did you do while you were at South by Southwest? You must have done a bunch.
I do a lot. Yes, I do. I've gone 4 years in a row, and I average about four days. So I average about 16 videos every year, so about 45 videos I've done at South by Southwest. Pete Cashmore knows me. He interviews me every year. Now, I will tell a funny story. When you talk about videos to share, okay? I've been doing videos for 3 decades, and I admit every once in a while I'm a dumbass, okay? Can I say that on radio? I'm going to say it on your radio. I can care less. I'm a dumbass sometimes. Everybody is. So last year, I went to South by Southwest. I think I know everything about video, right? So I go down there, and I'm doing all these big brands and Mashable and all these people. And someone said, dude, you should go do Grumpy Cat. And I said, I am not going to interview a damn cat. I'm sorry. It's just stupid. I'm not doing it. I'm bigger than interviewing a cat. Someone goes, I'm telling you, this is the biggest thing online right now. I'm like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So I go walk around, and I see a line of 3 blocks, and everyone's trying to take a picture with a stupid cat. And I'm like, well, damn, I better go look at this thing. So, of course, my interest peaks up a little bit. I'm still not intrigued. I'm not interviewing a stupid cat. So I go walk around the corner, and all of a sudden this limousine comes around. There's paparazzi everywhere, and they're delivering this cat, and someone bumps into me, and the cat's next to me, and someone goes, oh, are you the guy that's getting the first interview of the cat? And I said, you're damn right. I love Grumpy Cat. And the cat is the greatest thing ever. It's the greatest thing ever invented online. Of course, I'm the guy. So I do the first interview with Grumpy Cat, and that video took off, and I'm like, I love Grumpy Cat. So you've got to adapt a lot of times. You've got to adjust. You've got to take what's pop culture. And even if it's stupid and dumb, don't think you're above that. So I lowered my level. I got down on my knees, and I kissed the damn cat, and I've got Grumpy Cat on my videos.
I saw it. I was wondering.
That's a good video.
It is a good video.
The background is the best. I was like, I'm not interviewing a stupid cat.
Yep.
Hmm.
Now, so a company comes to you and says, hey, I want to create a Harlem Shake video. Can you help us with that?
I love that. Can you create a viral video?
Well, okay.
Okay, keep going with this one. I love this question.
I think that there's some, when someone comes with like a Harlem Shake kind of proposal and says, hey, everybody's doing this. Here's our spin on it. Maybe we want to do this, does it make a little more sense than just coming to you and saying, oh, hey, I just want you to create a viral video and just make something viral, right? Attaching yourself to some other meme could make sense from time to time, just like you said with the Grumpy Cat. You attached yourself to that meme and you made a video, just like many, many people did with, Harlem Shake or Gangnam Style. So separate from that, if someone comes to you and says, "Oh, I want to make a viral video for our company. We want 1 million views. What can you do for us?"
Yeah, no, that's always a tricky question. How much are they going to pay? Yeah, I'll do it. I don't know, man. I always tell them I'm pretty darn good at what I do, but I can't guarantee the views or success. I'm always very honest and transparent. People are like, well, God, you've won this stuff. You've done this stuff. You can do this for us. I'm like, no, I can't. Anybody that guarantees a viral video or anybody guarantees all these views is a bunch of baloney. They can't guarantee anything. Nobody knows the end user, the viewer. you know, the viewer. They just can't guarantee that. But you can always create funny, great stuff and try the best you can. But those are difficult to do. Those are probably the hardest videos. I've said that over and over. Those are extremely difficult. I always say this. If you can accept a complete failure five out of seven times and then get one big viral video, then let's do it. But if you're expecting, I mean, you're probably going to get a 10% hit rate, 20% hit rate on a crazy one. Try and just create conservative, great content over time. That's going to benefit you better than the one viral. What do you want to be? Do you want to be Vanilla Ice and you be the one-hit wonder? Or do you want to be a consistent Rolling Stones, baby? Who do you want to be? Now, Vanilla
right.
Ice, I would probably take a one-hit wonder every once in a while because those are pretty nice, too, you know? So who do you want to be? I saw Vanilla Ice, by the way, at Wichita Falls at a bar a couple of years ago, and I was like, that's Vanilla Ice? I thought it was a guy that was just singing karaoke. So do you want to be that guy? No, I don't think so. Y'all remember Vanilla Ice?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Ice, Baby? Well, that was a pretty famous song there for a while.
It was. It's been a while, but it was.
So tell us then, along those lines, what do you feel in your career has been the most successful thing that you felt or satisfied with, project that you've done, perhaps that you're most proud of in this realm?
God dang. I'll tell you what, I ask the questions a lot, and y'all are killing me tonight because y'all are doing great questions. I'm realizing how sucky I am at questions because I thought I was really good. Y'all are doing a great job, by the way. Really kudos to y'all. And I've never been on this end. I'm usually asking the questions, so great job. This is a great one. My easiest one is this. I left Fox Sports in 2007, and it's not a bragging thing, but it's just a fact thing. I won 3 Emmys with them. So, you know, but that took me a while to do. My first year out, I went online and I created a campaign with college football, tailgating, and Budweiser. And it was just me, my nephew, and, you know, I mean, nothing. We had no money. We had nothing. Because I was entrepreneuring, and we had nothing to go against it. And we went against ESPN, ABC, NBC, CBS. We got nominated for an Emmy, okay? Now, I won 3 already, but this was a problem because I went off on my own my first year and was against a multi-million-dollar company. And literally, I had no money to invest in entrepreneurship. As everybody knows, entrepreneurs, everything you get, you put back in, right?
Yep.
So it was so pathetic. It's a true story. So pathetic that we were in there and we were in the back room. They didn't even put us at the front table because we were such underdogs, okay? So everyone's at the front table, all the networks and all that. We did not even have chairs, okay? Get this. We were standing up in the back, and the waiters were, like, bumping into us. I'm sorry, here, we'll move out of the way. I think I actually cleaned some tables at this point. We were so far behind. And so they're about to announce the award, and I cheers to everyone. I said, guys, it was a great run. We have no shot. My wife was wearing my jacket, because she was cold. And all that. She said, do you want your jacket just to get you in? I'm like, there's no chance in hell we win. And they announce we win. So the lights are focusing on the people up front, and we're like, well, way back here at the waiters. It took us literally 5 minutes to get up to the front stage because we had to bump through the waiters and the wait staff. We finally got up there, and we won the Emmy. So that was probably my proudest moment when I was editing literally in an apartment of my nephew because we had no money, but we won the award, and that took the company to the next level.
Great story.
That is very good.
But I took a dirty dish up to the Emmy Awards up to the top. I literally was back there. I honestly was right next to the dishes. I'm not kidding.
That's great. Great story.
Now, I know, Chris, I think I've seen you on Vine. So I know that you do some of the Vine video shots. Do you have any other apps or tips that you want to share with the audience to that are beginners that are trying to use video and get the swing of it?
I hate Vine. Absolutely hate it. No, I'm not joking.
I think it's too short.
I think it sucks. I don't think it's gonna last. I think it's a flash in the pan for everyone who's been listening. I just don't think you've got to be very good at it. And I've been, like I said, I've been doing video for a long time, and I've messed around it just because it's a new app, so I got to test it out. And it's a very difficult to work. You got to hold your finger. You got to stop it. I don't know. I'm not a big fan. I like Viddy, V-I-D-D-Y. I love Viddy because they respond to you. They promote your videos. They're really cool. If you're going to do stuff on mobile, my three biggest advices for mobile people. And someone asked, I'm gonna be in a book in a couple of months talking about when would you ever drop your professional crew to do more of the mobile stuff. And I thought about that. That was a great question. I was like, rarely I would. But lately, there are times when mobile is better than a professional crew, and I'll tell you why. Because it's instantaneous. You can do quick shots. You can do it instant. Where if I do a really nice video, by the time I shoot it, download it, log it, edit it, produce it, we're talking about 10 to 12 hours later. Well, that's in today's day and age, that's almost like 2 months late. You know, people want an instantaneous. They want. So what I will always tell people is this. If, depending on the environment, let's first focus on there's two different environments. OK, one is really loud music during an event. Just do a quick shot, do a quick video, but do it 15 to 20 seconds and then end it, okay? A lot of people keep going on too long where it drags on. My second one is this. You go to an event, like I have an iPhone. Today I went to a Hub. Y'all know about HubSpot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so I went to a HubSpot event today. I've got an iPhone. I plugged in an iRig mic, plugged it into my iPhone, interviewed somebody, and I download it, no problem. Two biggest things on video is this. Because video is irrelevant, quite frankly. The most important thing about video is not video. I've always told people this. 100% of the time, it's audio. If you have bad audio, you are toast. If you have bad video and great audio, I can work around that. We can do slides. We can do photos. But if you have bad audio, done. Story's over. Okay? So my number one priority, without a doubt, is audio. If I plug a microphone into my iPhone, make sure the audio is number one. Number two, behind audio, okay, not video again. It's lighting. People are so paranoid about interviewing people in a dark room or whatever. Like today, they were doing a conference. I brought them out of the room, said, hey, do you mind coming out for a second? You take control of the conversation. Take control of the situation. Move them towards a window, have your back, you're shooting the video, right? Have your back to the window, have the person you're interviewing facing the window where the natural light comes in, and it is gold. So now I've got audio, now I've got natural light, which is actually better than a lot of studio lights. People don't believe this. Natural light through a window and sun is gold. So always try and get someone facing a window while you're talking to them. So audio, lighting, and then the last one would be video. You want the video, don't be shaky. Don't be shaking your hand. Try and be as steady as possible. Those are the three major points, and I think you're good after that.
Those are great.
Great advice. Let me ask you this, Chris. So on the editing side, what kind of tools are you using?
Well, I go a little bit fancier than most people. Most people can get away with iMovie. And once again, BJ, I don't ever focus on the platforms. And I always focus on the storytelling. So things could change, you know. But I use Final Cut Pro, which is pretty in-depth editing. I would never focus on the editing. I would never focus on what cameras to use. Once again, I always try and tell people, try and focus, you know, hire the people that know that stuff or let someone else do that because that's pretty in-depth, pretty hard stuff to do. Like, my editing was so great, but the last couple of years, the the platforms have changed so much that I'm now getting, like, I feel like a grandpa, and I'm not. But I can't even keep up with all editing. I know how to put an editing story together. I know the transformations I want, the transitions, the music, and I can watch it. But editing is difficult nowadays with all this new stuff. So I always tell people, focus on the stories, keep the sound bites short. A lot of people don't use that sound, which I think is very crucial. That's something a lot of people miss. They just do an interview, or they do music, or they do pictures. But that sound is probably the most important thing also with video. And what I mean by that sound is, let someone just tell a story. Let someone just stand away for a minute and let them kind of just naturally be doing what they do and capture that moment.
Right.
Yeah, I think some of the best videos, and I'm certainly not a videographer, but some of the best videos that I've done that I've had so much fun with is that natural video, talking, conversation, interview, catch somebody off guard a little bit, but make them comfortable and ask the questions, and it's about them, and it's been a lot of fun. So great tips with the lighting and all of that. That's wonderful.
I did a recent video on a horse, okay? So I did I do all these videos at Lone Star Park, and so I do all these jockey stories and stuff. But finally I said, you know what, we need to be the perception of a horse. I'm like, what do you mean? I said, I want to know what a horse feels. They're like, oh, you can't get a horse. Be like, yeah, you damn can. Let's put a GoPro on top of a horse and see what happens. They're like, that's never been done before. I'm like, you're damn right. That's why I want to do it. So I always try and do something that's different. So it took me about a month to convince a racing commission, to convince the jockey and the horse owner, and plus the horse. And we put a camera on the top of a horse during a race. And it just posted about 4 days ago, and it's starting to take off. And it's really cool. Y'all should go check it out. It's on YouTube, Lone Star Park, Jockey Cam. And it's a video of what is it like to be in a horse race. And when you say nap sound, there's no interview. There's absolutely zero interview. It's just riding a horse. That's it. It's really cool.
It's cool. So I had a question that came in through my text. Let me see if I can pull it back up. The question for you is that, what if you're working with a startup and you're not sure what kind of content yet your customer really wants? What's the first steps that they should be doing in order to produce great videos?
Two things. One, if you don't know what your customer wants, you might as well quit now. You're dead in the water. You will not make it. You're going to fail. That's one. But if you want to keep spending money even though you're going to fail,
so your advice would be for the first to find out what the customer really wants.
Yeah, if you don't know what the customer wants and you're kind of in the business, you're probably dead in the water already. But if you want to spend money and lose money like you're already doing, I don't know. What are you trying to sell? What's informational to the end user? What's interesting about what you do? I'd have to know more about who the product is and what they do. They're more specific, you know, and then I can probably answer the question. But they're probably already dead in the water.
But I think what they were really looking for is they probably know what their customer wants, but how to get started with using video and finding the content. But we'll hash that one out.
You know what? I'll follow them.
Chris, how important is it, and maybe you could tell us a little bit about your process in thinking through, you know, a lot of things you read nowadays, you know, you try to read things like Huffington Post, and it's like just a lot of link bait, right? You, like, read the headline, you're like, okay, the story had nothing to do with that. That was just complete, you know, just link bait. But we want to create, you know, compelling headlines. Otherwise, you know, well, why would someone watch this? Why would someone read this?
Right.
And they look at the length of the video before they even watch it. Do I have time?
Always.
And if you don't catch them in the first 3 seconds of the video, you know, you got some kind of long introduction or you know, some slide there. Forget about that. But what's your process and your thinking around creating, you know, compelling headlines so that you know, people are going to read, you know, watch this stuff to begin with.
You know, it better match up. It better not be oversell. You know, if the headline is so great but the content sucks, that's almost a double negative. You know, you really got to back it up. You know, if you're shouting to the world that this is great content, you better back it up.
And you just lost their trust.
Right. Number two, video content on. I'm sorry, video length. I've always said this before. There are some videos that are 60 minutes, and TED Talks is a great example. But I tell people, you're not TED Talks. You're not that great. You're not Spielberg. You're not that great. Don't try and be that fancy. And I've said this before, and I love the Lord. I love Jesus. I read the Bible every day. But if I saw a YouTube video of Jesus coming down 5 minutes long, I probably wouldn't click it. At 2 minutes, I would probably click the Lord. See what's happening. You know what I mean? But 5 minutes, I'm like, you know what? I may click it and watch the first 60 seconds and see what this is all about. But you know what? If Jesus had a YouTube channel, they better be short, Lord. They better be short. So I don't care who you are. Keep them short. Keep them to the point. And you know what I mean? It's got to be short.
Good point.
The radio just went off the air. The Lord just stopped the radio.
I want to say I did classify
it by saying I am Christian and I love the Lord. That's a good thing. And I will give testimonials to the Lord, but they will be 60 seconds or less.
But it's just the first for Social Geek Radio. Cursing, we're talking religion. We're not going to touch politics. So
yeah, I'm touching everything here tonight.
Oh,
hey, Jeff, you don't know what you got into tonight with me.
No, honestly, I didn't. But I'm cool with it. This is all good.
All right, can I do one more question, Deb?
You have time for one more question, please.
Okay. I think you have time for two more.
Okay.
What is the structure? Here's another one. Here's another one for you. What is the structure of a good story? What are some of the elements of a good story?
You know what? The structure of a good story is having no questions. You want me to follow up on that one?
No questions?
No questions prepared for the person that you're interviewing? It's all
natural? Zero questions. Zero questions. And I used to get drilled on this all the time. And I'm going to follow up on what I mean by that. This is very important. This is probably my number one thing that I do and why I do it well. And other people are like, how do you do that? I'm like, I don't care. When I interview people, I take no notes. I bring nothing to the table. I see journalists all the time. They bring their notepad with 20 questions. They've researched and done all this stuff. And they're looking down at their paper all the time, and that person responding is already knows the questions and answers and all that, and there's no interaction. My best questions are always from answers. Always, always, always. I go into a story thinking it's going to be one way, but when I hear answers and really listen to the person responding, that's my story. Now, my wife, 13 years of marriage, says, well, hell, you never listen to me. I'm like, well, damn it, get a camera in front of you, and I'll listen to you all the time. You put a camera and you start talking to me, I'll freaking listen to you all night long, honey. But there's no, you know, I'm not going to listen to you unless there's a camera in front of it. So I always, always, always focus on what they say, and then I follow up on those. I never have prearranged questions. Never, never, never.
All right. So last question. Sorry, Deb, cutting you off.
No, that's fine.
You're always on this. You're always on this show.
I'm always here. Yes.
So,
this has been a fun show, by the way, guys. I've really enjoyed the questions and the interaction. Has been fantastic tonight. We should do a Google Hangout.
I do want to talk to you about that too. So, BJ, you ask a question, and I'm going to talk to him.
Hey, I know. Come on, let me say this. You can come on my Google Hangout tomorrow night. We have 617,000 fans.
Whoa.
We do a Google Hangout. It's totally full, but I can get y'all on, pre-invite, and we're interviewing, not that it may interest, this may not interest anybody out there or you, Dallas Mavericks Vice President of Marketing tomorrow night.
Cool.
Very cool.
Okay.
I'm definitely going to watch.
All right. So
ahead,
if you're interviewing someone or you're creating a video for someone and they perhaps need some coaching, what do you tell them? And they need to tell a story. They need to, share a testimony or whatever it is. You're coaching them. What do you say?
I wouldn't coach them. What I would tell them is don't overthink it. Let's just talk. Let's have a conversation. Just interview with me. Don't look at the camera. Never look at the camera. Never, ever, 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 ever look at the camera. That's the biggest mistake. When you look at the camera, you freak out. So look at the person eye to eye. Let's have a conversation. I'm only going to use a few quotes from you. I'm only going to use a few topics from you. Let's just keep talking. So just get them in dialogue. Get them in interview. Keep asking questions over and over. But I'm uncomfortable. Okay, look, I said, boom, boom, boom. Keep drumming. Say, we're not only going to use 30 seconds. So if I keep asking questions over and over, I'm going to find a great answer from them. I would never coach anybody. I want them to be natural.
Good answer.
I think over coaching is the biggest mistake. I think it's a horrible thing to do on video. Horrible, 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 horrible. It's one of the worst things I've seen. You look at the camera, hi, I'm so-and-so, and let me tell you about what I do. That is just don't even post that video. Let's just talk. Let's have a conversation. Be natural. Be genuine. Be authentic. Let's just not coach. Let's just be you. Okay? And that's why I love video. And I always tell people, everybody's different. Well, that was a great video. Can I do like that? No, you can't. You're not that good. You can't be that person. You're not that good. So let's gear it towards your style. Let's gear it towards your personality. If you try and force something and you try and be someone who you're not, that's the worst thing you can do on video.
Very true. Very true. Well, Chris, I have to tell you, this has been a blast. And we followed your advice before we even received your advice. Do you have any prepared questions ready? I mean,
that's
DJ's
awesome.
Been throwing them out there. But
that was great on sessions, man. I'll tell you what.
Very
awesome.
Very, very good. Very fun. We're going to have you back. So when AK returns, we're going to have you back because I think we could do a part two. So before
awesome.
we release you,
you're
and we start geeking out.
Yeah.
We'll release you here soon. I'm going to excuse you, even though you cursed and you brought up religion and all that, but that's okay. So would you
share
with everyone?
You know what? You can edit that. You can edit that.
I'm not going to edit it. I'm not. Please share your social handles so that everybody can follow you and they can watch Google Hangouts and find you online and your website.
Oh, goodness gracious. I always tell people just Google Chris Yates Dallas and you'll find me.
Okay.
I can give you so many handles. Forget all that. Nobody wants all that. Just Chris Yates Dallas. They'll find me.
That's how I found you. That's how I found you. Great videos, great content. Thank you so much for joining us. I mean, it really was educational and certainly entertaining. So thank you. If you're more than happy to, you can hang on, and BJ's going to do a Geek It Out segment, or if you need to find two. So it's a blast, and I'll send you the links to the recording here in a bit.
Thank you all so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, Chris.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
So,
it's a very geeky show. The kind you listen to with mother. Social media.
Know what you're laughing at. Song's not done.
No, I'm laughing at, okay. I went on Chris Yates' Google Plus profile here, and he's dancing with the Dallas Maverick cheerleaders, which is quite funny.
Oh, I didn't see that one yet.
So, No, that was great. Great stuff. All right, so let's just jump into this here. I got, 7 minutes maybe or so.
Yep.
So good to be back here and sharing. So on the subject of video, I know we probably covered this one in the past, but throw in a little few tips. So there are very few services that I actually pay for, right? And so like I'm a Hootsuite Pro kind of guy, and then I'll do Animoto, okay? So on the video side, well, it's I guess technically it's video. So you could either do mobile or I use desktop version a lot. So if I'm taking pictures with my DSLR at an event, so I'll go and I'll shoot an event and then, you know, specifically with the intent of taking something and very quickly throwing those images into Animoto and then getting that right onto Facebook, right, or wherever. So even, I mean, people are even at the point where, you know, more professional video where they're taking all these still shots of an event, let's say a wedding, right? So you're doing a wedding, still shots, end of the wedding, end of the reception, you've got the video already posted and you're sharing it on the big screen with the, you know, the people there, right? So very quickly putting these things together and, you know, so doing that on your mobile device, so you get Animoto on your Android or iPhone, you know, grab some great shots, and then if you don't have, you know, the skills or the time or the equipment, throw it in Animoto, pick a theme, pick some music, lots of great options. I go with the, you know, the kind of the first level of paid, but it still has the thing at the end, you know, where at the end of the video it says Animoto at the end. Well, what I do is I download that, okay, and then I will chop that off in Windows Movie Maker, okay? So I'm a PC guy, and you could probably do the same thing with iMovie. So if you don't want that trailer at the end with the Animoto thing on it, cut it off because you download the file in the paid version I have. You download the file and then just cut it off and then stick it on Facebook. Or YouTube, right?
Or YouTube, yeah.
So that,
okay.
So that way it's a little more professional.
I hadn't thought about that.
Just chop the end off. That's what I do. So Animoto.com, upload your pictures, and there you go.
Yep. I do. I like Animoto. I like it a lot.
That's my
good.
First tip. All right. So here's the thing. Well, I like this one, and you've probably seen this before. I know Ginny shared it. Ginny Dietrich. And let me put it in the chat. It is this one. It's the Content Idea Generator. You remember this one? She shared it a few months ago. And this thing is awesome. I mean, it just helps you, you know, with headlines and idea generating, basically. So, you know, you just go to the link I just put in the chat. So it's portent.com/tools/title-maker. And so you go in there and you put in, so I'll put in Social Geek Radio.
Wait a minute. I don't see it in the chat. What was the link again?
Oh, boy. Sorry.
Yeah,
oh,
it's not in
the send button. I hate this thing.
Well,
hit
the send button.
How's that? portent.com. You see it in the chat there?
Yes, I do.
All right, so
everybody
you go
that's
there.
Got it.
And, excuse me, you just have to laugh at some of these. So you put in, it says enter your subject here. I put in Social Geek Radio. so one of them comes up, and it's giving me the idea, who really uses Social Geek Radio? And you hit refresh. True facts about Justin Bieber's love of Social Geek Radio. refresh. 16 uses for Social Geek Radio. Why Social Geek Radio is cuter than a kitten. So, okay, yes, these are stupid, okay? But
thank you for sharing
a lot of great ideas. You get a lot of great ideas off of this. So you're working with a client, a product, a service, a cause, an organization, whatever it is. Stick some keywords in there and just think out, this is way out of the box just because it's random and it's a computer and it's all, you know. But it's fun, and it really will help you think differently about your, you know, if it's a title, maybe you're wanting to create an infographic or some concept, use the content idea generator. So put that in your bookmark. Next time you get stuck, just go there and let, you know, let your brain take a break.
I can see whether you could use that too for posting for Facebook, just everywhere, all your sites. What are you laughing at now?
Why Social Geek Radio is more tempting than a Cinnabon. Why Social Geek Radio is the new black. How Hollywood got Social Geek Radio all wrong. All right, last one. Okay, coderace.me. Let me put this in the chat. Send coderace, R-A-C-E, .me.
Hmm?
All right, so here's the deal. Okay, we all use like WordPress and whatever other CMS. And yeah, we can get these great themes, and they're all designed and all this stuff, and nobody has to do HTML anymore, right? No, that's not right. If you really want something formatted in a certain way, you got to learn. Really, you need two skills. Okay, and I'm finding this out, and I've done HTML since late 90s. Okay, you want to know some HTML, and you're going to need to know some CSS. Okay, so how do you learn these things? There's lots of online tools to help you learn some of these things. So if you want to do some formatting, oh, WordPress isn't doing it right for me, or I need to change the, you know, this link color or this header color or whatever, you're going to need to know some CSS and HTML. Okay? So CodeRacer is where you just play, you just hit play on the thing, and it says you're racing against someone else to write code. Okay? So you're learning these things, and supposedly you're doing it against someone else. I think it was just a computer, and it was just timing it. I was learning how to write some code with coderace.me. Lots of tools out there for learning how to code. I got the background, so I have a lot of that I'm able to do. You know, like a lot of changes with HTML5, like tables are deprecated, so now you can't, you know, you're not using a lot of these older things that we used to use in like Microsoft Front Page. But so if I'm really geeking out here, I apologize. You need to learn some code.
Oh,
that's just
the
reality. You don't want to.
I don't want to.
It's the future. Secure your future.
I might have to. I can do that. I can do it. Okay, I'll learn code.
You can do it. You can do it.
I can pay somebody to do it.
Ah, that's expensive.
I know. It's not the same. I know.
Hey, you can pay me to do it. That's fine. Let me know when you need some help.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, we are down to a minute. So if you don't have, do you have another one? If you don't, that's fine. Okay. That's cool. That's all right.
I do, actually. I lied. One more. Very funny. I was working with a client. Working with a client, and this is an app for your phone, and all it is a baby crying. So go to this website. It's called Cry Baby App. And you pick a baby, and it just cries. It's just like a real video of a baby crying. So,
oh, I don't need that.
Well,
I don't see it.
I put it in there.
Oh, you have it in the chat. Okay. Well, I'll check it out.
In the chat. But read that. Cry baby app.
I got it.
Give it to your teenager. Give it to your teenage.
I don't have a teenager. But, okay. But everybody else can share it. So, BJ, before you go, where can people find you today since you've left us?
Yeah, so buzzadelic.com, and I'm in Greenville, North Carolina, and I'm good with that.
You're doing well. They can find you on Facebook as well, Buzzadelic. I know you
have
a Facebook page. Tell them to visit you there.
Hit me up on Twitter.
You tweet every once in a while. You're still on Twitter. Okay, cool. Well, thanks everybody that was in the chat, and thank you again to Chris. Great fun. Really enjoyed having you, BJ. Thanks so much
Great
for
show.
Joining. Very good. So good night, everyone, and I will see you next week, which will probably be Tuesday night again. So join us then.
Social media, social media, social media.